This month at CCPV, we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit. That's been our series, right? And we started with Pastor Joe teaching us about the person of the Holy Spirit. We saw that he is a spirit to be embraced. He is a God to be obeyed, and he's willing and available as our helper. And then last week, we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit as revealed to us prior to the cross, after the cross, and then him working today. And so it leads us into today's teaching, which are going to be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I have a quick question for you guys. How many of you would say you have a good, clear understanding of what the gifts of the Spirit are and their operation and how they function? Look at all those hands. Whoa, we got tons of people. Now, I think for most of us, we do have this kind of, you know, I say like fog, right? When we look at the gifts of the Spirit, we don't see it clearly or understand it fully, because again, it's a work of the Spirit, right? It's a work that God does, and God is Spirit, and He moves in ways that sometimes we don't fully understand, right? His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? And so I think like it's good for all of us to have a clearer understanding of these things. Now, when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes in my mind, I look at the two extremes, right? I see one is it like people rolling around and like, you know, doing animal sounds or, you know, just getting crazy and a bunch of confusion and chaos? Or is it over here, someone just tight-lipped and silent, ready to, you know, pounce on someone with the word and say, no, that's not the gift of the Spirit. That is, you know, that's heresy or whatever. That's blasphemy, right? We see kind of both of those ends, right? Both of those extremes. Whereas the truth is like God wants us, yes, to worship and to experience the gifts of the Spirit according to what He's revealed to us, according to His truth. But also, too, there is our emotions and our gifts and our talents that He's given us individually that feed into those things. So we're going to be looking at three things today. We're going to be looking at, number one, the practice of the gifts. We're going to be then looking also at the purpose of the gifts. And then lastly, the possession of the gifts. And the big idea for today is that God has given gifts to every believer. Every one of us who's put our trust in Christ has been given a gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Lord, as we enter into your word, Lord, especially as we approach your word and learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just pray, God, that you would enlighten our minds, Lord, that you would stir up our hearts, Lord God, that you would create in us this desire to want to pursue these beautiful and powerful gifts that you've given to men so that we can serve you, that we can glorify you, God. And so I just pray that you would reveal your truth to us, that you would speak loudly to us, and Holy Spirit, that you would be, again, just glorified as you lead us into the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's going to kind of be our home text today, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start off by looking at the practice of the gifts. So, with the practice of the gifts, there's three things. We should be informed, we need to be empowered, and we need to realize that they will be done and revealed according to God's will, okay, as He sees fit. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So the first thing that we see here in verse 1 is Paul telling the people, the Corinthian church, I don't want you to be uninformed. And sadly, I feel like our churches today, a lot of us are uninformed about these things. Now, the Corinthian church was kind of a special church, I would say. And I say that like when you're like, you talk about that kid who's a little rowdy and a little wild, and you go, yeah, they're special. That's a special one that I have there. It's the same idea. Corinthian church was kind of that way, right? They were known as a carnal church. You have to realize their background, they came from worshiping, you know, false gods and idols, and idol worship was big in Corinth, right? And so here we have these people that have begun to abuse, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, as well as other things in the church. We see Jesus or Paul talking to them about them when they go take communion and how they were abusing that. And here, his response in this letter, this portion of this letter to them, because remember, he's writing a letter to this church, this specific church, during this time, from chapter 12 to 14, he's pretty much saying, you guys are abusing these gifts. And you can, if you read on further in your own time in 1 Corinthians 14, you'll see that he's correcting them a lot about the things they were doing that weren't things that they weren't what God intended for how the church to operate and how it should function and the gifts in the church. So we see that. So he's trying to say, hey, I want to show you the right way. Again, he wants to inform them. He wants to instruct them. He wants to point them to the truth. And I think that's the heart of, you know, our pastors here is we want, yes, we want the Holy Spirit to move. We want people to be filled and the gifts to be used. But also, too, we more than anything, before I feel like we can enter into that a lot of times, we have to be informed and we have to know what does this look like and what is God doing here? Because again, if not, there's potential to be led astray, just like they were. It says that in verse 2. He says, you know, when you were pagans, that's what you were doing. You were worshiping these false gods. And in these churches or these temples, right, of these false gods, they were doing crazy things. They were getting out of hand. There was a lot of confusion and chaos going on and a lot of other stuff too. Excuse me. But the biggest thing is that they were not living according to the truth. They were led astray. And I think that any time like that we're trying to seek after the Lord and there's this desire to want to follow him and to do his will, there's always the enemy standing there to want to lead us astray, right? I think of Jesus saying like, man, there's a path that leads to eternity, that leads to God, and it's a narrow path, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. The idea is there's these paths and the way that seems the widest, sometimes that's the dangerous route. Right, it's sometimes the narrow, and so a lot of times when we say, "Oh, Holy Spirit," you know, what does that look like? We look to the world, and you see a lot of times where things are abused and misused or misunderstood. And like I said, on both spectrums, right? For people who say, "Oh, there are no gifts of the Spirit; that doesn't exist anymore," or the people who say, "Oh no, we should just be doing that 24/7," you know, there's chance to be led astray and to end up in one of these camps. And so the one thing we know is the Spirit will always exalt and proclaim Jesus as Lord. And we see that here in verse 3, right? No one can say, according to the Spirit, that Jesus is accursed, you know? No one can say without the Spirit that Jesus is Lord. So we know, again, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to testify of me, right? The idea is the Holy Spirit is going to exalt and proclaim Jesus as Lord. So we can put that to the test right away and say, okay, is this the Spirit of God? Is this the practice, how the practice of the gifts look like? Is Jesus being lifted up? Is he being exalted? Is he being declared as the Lord? If it's the focus of man and it's a person, and we're looking at that person and we're saying, look at the gift in that person, look at that person, look at that person, we've missed it. Because always it should be, no, look at the Lord, look at the Lord, look at the Lord. Amen? Okay. So that's where we see we first need to be informed. Secondly, we need to be empowered. Verses 4 through 6 in 1 Corinthians 12. Now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So we see there's many gifts. There's many, many, many gifts. Variety, right, of activities and service and things we can do. And we're going to look at the list and we'll see there's many gifts there. But the really cool part about it is that allows for diversity, right? It allows for diversity of gifts. And as we see the difference of gifts, you're like, man, these gifts are so much different than this gift. They have so much of a different appearance. You could have someone who has the gift of intercessory prayer, and they're just in their closet, and they're calling out to the Lord, interceding on people's behalf, which is such a powerful ministry and such a powerful gift. And then you have a person who has the gift of teaching or preaching, right? And it's like, wow, those are two different things. One's, you know, behind closed doors in a closet somewhere. The other one's up on a stage maybe, or the gift of worship, right? And they're sitting on a stage. And so we could see different, lots of different, but it's the same Spirit. And so we have to understand that. Like, isn't like, okay, the Holy Spirit moves in this way over here and he moves in this way over here. That's not how God works. It's the same Spirit. The idea is God always wanted us to be unified. He wants diversity. He wants unity, but also diversity, right? That's what God desires for the church. But we need to be empowered. It's not something that we have to create by the flesh. We can't come in and say, okay, we're going to stir up the Lord. We're going to stir up the Spirit today, and he's going to show up because I'm telling him to. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. He's going to work according to his will, according to his power as he sees fit. And we'll see that a little bit later. But the whole purpose is that we understand it's not of the flesh. It's exactly the opposite. It's a work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, again, he's going to move according to his will, his power. And we see that in verses 8 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. We see that's always according to God's will. It says, "For to one given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he what? As he wills, right? As he sees fit. He's going to say, okay, this is where the gifts are going to be, who it's going to rest upon and how it's going to be used and how it's going to function in the church. So he determines that, right? We don't get to determine, okay, I want this gift, so I have this gift. Now, again, should we pursue gifts? Absolutely. We should be saying, Lord, and if we desire a gift, that's a good thing. But it's not for us to tell God. It's for us to him to reveal it to us, to uncover those things. So I'm just going to go over a list of the gifts. And I feel like I could teach a course or a class on just this right now because there is so much here. So I apologize because I am going to be short on time that I'm not able to go into depth on every single one. It's not an exhaustive list. There's a lot of things that there's certain things I may have missed. I just went to the scriptures. As I'm looking at these things, you guys, just so you know, as I'm approaching it, I'm not sharing my thoughts, my opinions, my views on these things. I'm just trying to look at what God's word says and then present that, right? And so that way we can have a balanced understanding of that's what these things are. So we're going to look at list of gifts, and mainly where we see the gifts listed, we see them in 1 Corinthians 12, we see them in Romans 12, we see them in Ephesians 4, and also 1 Peter 4. That's generally where we see them. And I have verses from all of those sections in here today. But the idea is that's where we can generally find them, okay, is the listing of these gifts. So first one, wisdom. So wisdom is where we're given knowledge, but it's knowledge to actually how to live things out, how to apply, also called like the word of wisdom, right? Then there's the word of knowledge, which is for understanding, for instruction, to actually be like, oh, that makes sense to me. Wisdom is how do I do this thing, or Lord, is the Lord calling me to do this thing, and then knowledge is the understanding. How do I perceive this thing? Do I understand this thing? Do I have a special knowledge about this thing? So we have words of knowledge. We have faith, which faith we know is the ability to trust God in any circumstance, to do the impossible, right? We have gifts of healing, which here what we're looking at a lot of times is physical healing. Sometimes along with that, it can be spiritual in the sense of we can see demons being cast out and things like that, right? We have miracles, which again, that would fall under, like demons being cast out would fall under miracles, supernatural, things that happen in nature. Obviously, like when Jesus calms the storm, right? And the seas, they become peaceful and calm. Obviously, that was a miracle. So things that are supernatural, they're things that, the natural world doesn't understand. It's supernatural. So that's miracles. We have prophecy. Prophecy can be foretelling, so telling of a future event, but it also can be forthtelling. See, when the scripture was written, and especially in the Old Testament, you had prophets, right, who spoke on behalf of God. Thus saith the Lord, you would hear them say. But as we speak forth God's truth, what God has already said, that's also prophecy. That's forthtelling. So we're taking God's word and we're telling it, It's the same idea. But there's two aspects, foretelling and forthtelling. Then there's discernment. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about distinguishing of spirits, being able to distinguish between truth and error, to be able to determine, hey, that's not of the Lord. That's actually demonic. That's from Satan. That's discernment. We have the gift of tongues. Tongues, the word tongues is essentially just languages, known languages, unknown languages, right? We see that in the Bible. Like we see in Acts, them talking and speaking in tongues, and it's languages that people understood in their own tongue, right? They're native in their language, but also to unknown languages where you need an interpreter, right? So, and that's where interpretation comes in, the understanding of those languages. Then we have service, which is serving other, also known as like the gift of helps. We're able to help out, right? If you have the gift of service, by the way, that's what Joe was talking about for that infant and toddlers ministry. You can use your gift today there. Teaching, instruction, and explaining. Teaching is a gift of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we don't think that, right? Like a lot of times we're like, okay, we need to wait for the afterglow to have the Holy Spirit move in his gifts. Well, really, do you guys know teaching is a gift of the Holy Spirit? And if I'm up here in my flesh, man, that's a dangerous thing, you know? Hopefully, again, I'm operating according to the gift of the Spirit that he's given me to teach today. And so as we're teaching, also exhortation, which exhortation is the idea when you are able to challenge and encourage and warn people. The gift of giving, being generous and hospitable. The gift of leadership to guide, to direct, to correct at times when it's needed. The gift of mercy, which is it comes from compassion, the ability to bear others' burdens. You have the gift of evangelism, of preaching the good news, preaching the gospel. Gift of administration, which is, you know, organizationally used, right? Within to organize things, to work in an organization and to see how, to correct how things function, to make sure things are functioning and properly and smoothly. And also I was thinking today, and I didn't even have it on my list because again, I'm gonna miss some for sure, but even just worship, as Pastor Joe is worshiping, I'm like, that's a gift. That's a gift, and that's a gift of the Spirit. Like, yes, there's a natural talent there, and a lot of times with these gifts, there are natural talents that we may have. You may be good at administration, you know. It doesn't mean you necessarily have the spiritual gift of administration, but maybe God's gonna give you that gift so that those two things can be, you know, can work together in harmony. And you can use your talent along with the gifting to minister to his body. And then we see again, the Spirit's going to distribute these according to what? His will. So the Holy Spirit's going to distribute these gifts according to his will. So again, the three things there. Number one, we should be informed regarding the gifts, right? The practice of the gifts, we need to be empowered. It's not of the flesh, and it's always going to be according to God's will as he sees fit. And he's going to give these, it says that he's the one who gives these gifts to men. It says when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. All right, so we're moving on to the second point, which is the purpose of the gifts. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So the gifts we realize are for the body or the church. So when I say the body, hopefully you guys aren't picturing a human body, right? It's the body is known as the body of Christ, which is the church, right? The church. We are a part of God's body here. But we realize the church is not just here. It's not just Calvary Chapel, Pomona Valley, right? It's not a building, but it's a people, right? And so it's universal, the church universal. That's what we're going to be talking about. So the gifts are for the body. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Again, for the common good. It's given for everybody's good, for the good and the edification, the building up of the body. We see that it said. And in Ephesians 4, verse 12, it says it's also to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Again, for what? For building up the body of Christ. That's the purpose of these gifts, right? Equipping the saints, building up the body, edification of the body. So we see that's God's focus. He said, okay, I'm going to give you these gifts, but I want you to use them here to build up the body, right? Because why? Again, if not, you guys, we would be running around just trying to operate according to our own power, our own strength, our own wisdom, our own understanding. All these things we lack. But when we say, Holy Spirit, fill us, give us these gifts, now we're empowered to go and do the things according to his will and his power, his strength, his might. And that's where change and transformation happens, right? It's a really cool thing. So we see the gifts are for the body. We also see the gifts are for ministry or service. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You see, the gifts are to be exercised by and among the body. By and among the body. Again, that's the main purpose of the gifts. He wants to use them here for one another, right? Here for one another. So some examples of that, he gives speaking the oracles of God. What does that mean, oracles of God? The very truths, the powerful truths of God. When we speak and we have, because there's certain gifts that are specifically speaking gifts, right? Again, words of knowledge, words, words of wisdom, prophecy, right? Even tongues would be considered a speaking gift, teaching, exhortation. All of these are speaking gifts, right? They're gifts that come from the mouth. What's the way we're supposed to use it? As you're speaking the very oracles of God, as it were, like God was like saying, tell them this, tell them that, share this with them, reveal to them this, give them this wisdom, give them this knowledge. You see how cool that is? He says, this is the way that it operates. And then also, the second part of that is serving how? By the strength that God supplies. Many years, me and my wife were involved in children's ministry, right? Children's ministry is both amazing and very taxing too, right? It's exhausting because, you know, especially as you get older. When I was younger, that was the first ministry I ever got involved in. Went to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. This was 25 years ago, roughly. Went to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and I was like, man, I want to get involved. And our daughter at the time was little, and so she was just born. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go serve in the toddlers or young kids, you know, infants, toddlers. And back then I had lots of energy. It was not challenging at all. But as time went on and we had more kids and, you know, it gets more taxing, right? And you can get exhausted. But a lot of times I would question myself and say, man, am I relying upon my strength to do this? Like, I'm missing the point of what I'm supposed to be doing here. I always joke around and say, our only job really is to make sure they're alive. Like, make sure they don't die on our watch. Like, that's the number one job. It's like a dad's job, right? Dad's job. If you have the kids, dad, just keep them alive and you succeeded, you know? But the truth is no, man, it's so much more than that. Like, so much more than that. And the ability to love on kids, to tell them about Jesus, to encourage them, to know them by name, to worship with them, it's such an amazing thing. But if you're just operating, again, according to the flesh and not according to the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be exhausting. It can be draining. And anything we do, right, any type of service, if it's not done in God's strength, it will drain you. And maybe that's your thing. I don't want to serve because, man, I'm just going to be drained. I'm just not going to, you know, it's just going to suck the life out of me. Not according to God's Spirit, it's not. Not according to the gift that he's given you, it's not. Because if you operate in that, it's going to be his strength. It's going to be his power that you're doing it by. And then it's a very amazing thing. And you're able to do that thing and to do it as long as he calls you to be there. Doesn't mean you're going to do it for eternity, forever, right? Everything, there's a season. God has moved us out. You know, this season for us, he moved me and Jessica out from children's ministry into high school ministry. And it was a season thing. It was just God's timing. And so he may call you, he's going to call you to different places at different times. And sometimes those gifts are going to be used in different ways. But ultimately, the gifts are for not just the building up of the church, service, ministry, all those things, but really the bigger picture in all of it is the gifts are for God's glory. It's, again, to glorify him, right? It's to point to him. That's what it's about. It says in 1 Peter 4:11, the second half of that, it says, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen, right? They are all for, it's all for God's glory. Again, it's not about the person. A lot of times we get trapped with, oh, they have this gift, and we look to the person. It's about God's glory. Is he receiving the glory? That's the purpose of the gifts. That's I forget what it's called, but it's essentially, it says the man's chief end is to glorify God. The chief end of man is to glorify God, right? That's what we were created to do. And the gifts are no different. They're used to create God. Again, it's not for the praise of man. It's not for man's position or authority. It's all for God's glory. Okay, so we saw with that, with the purpose of the gifts, that it's for the body, it's for ministry and service, and it's for God's glory. Now let's move on to our last point here, the possession of the gifts. It sounded kind of weird when I was writing it, possession, right? Because we think of, like, a lot of times possession, we look at it in the negative, like we're being possessed. But what I mean by this is to possess, for us to possess the gifts, to have, right, for them to belong to us, because they are very individual. And we see first and foremost that the gifts are possessed by those that have the Holy Spirit. So we saw in the book of Acts that the Samaritan believers, they began to believe the truth and receive the truth. And Peter was like, okay, we need to meet with them and see what's going on, and then we need to pray with them so that we can make sure they've received the Holy Spirit. Because again, like they had just, you know, they had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're like, man, we want to share that power with them. We want to make sure that they have that same power, right? And so we saw that they believed first, and then now it was like, okay, now it's time for the Holy Spirit to come, right? And so we see that it starts there. We need to have the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit, we need to put our trust, our faith in Christ. We need to give our lives to him. We must be saved. We must be born again. Why? Because ultimately that's the work of what being born again means. That's what Jesus talked about in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus, right? He says, you see the wind, the way that it blows and how the effects that the wind has. So that's exactly what the Spirit's like. When you're born again, the Spirit comes in and it transforms, it changes things. Just like that wind changes that landscape, the Holy Spirit, as it comes in like a rushing wind, it changes us from the inside out, right? He indwells us now. And so to do that, we need to understand it first requires us to know the Lord, to have these gifts and have that power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that every single believer has been given at least one gift. If we look back to 1 Peter chapter 4, it said each one, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 7, each. It's been given to each. Each means every one of us. Every believer has at least been given one gift, if not multiple, right? So we understand that it's for the believer, but it's the promise is that everyone has a gift. So no one here can say, oh, I don't have one. You may not know what it is yet. And hopefully after today, we're going to have a chance to pray, and hopefully God will begin to reveal those things to you. And it may not be today, but over time, our hope is that you'll be able to see these are the gifts that God has given to me, and how does he want to use them for his glory and for the building up of his body. And then we also see too, so it's possessed by those that have the Holy Spirit. We also see it's possessed by those that he calls and appoints. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 30. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And then Paul asks the question, are all apostles? What's our answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So, one person doesn't have all of them. Again, Paul, just before this in 1 Corinthians, is talking about the body and how it functions, the hand and the eyes and the ears, right, how they function. And he pretty much says, like, they're dependent upon one another, right? Like, the ear can't say to the eye, I have no use for you. The hand can't say to the nose, I have no use for you. Because they all have different functions. And it's the same way with the gifts in the church. And God appoints and calls those so that he gives these gifts and says, okay, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, you're going to have this. Right? Again, it's that diversity, it's that variety, but it's the same Spirit. And no one possesses all the gifts. Why? What's the main reason why? Because we should depend upon one another. We realize like the Christian life is not about us living individually and saying, oh, I'm gonna live this way, right? By myself. It's not the lone wolf mentality. That's not what the Christian life is. Rather, it's dependent upon one another. And that's why he uses and calls it a body, uses that picture of the body. So we see again, we must have the Holy Spirit. He calls and appoints. And then also he tells us to desire the higher gifts. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. Now, as I originally read this, I was like, oh, the higher gifts. It must be in order of what he's saying. Apostle, prophet, you know, teacher, miracles. So it's like, oh, so let's go to the first one. Everybody should want to be an apostle. But again, he says, are all apostles? No. So I'm like, well, that's not what he's saying then. So what I realize what he's saying is, we may be settling. We may be going, oh, I have the gifts of help. I'm over here. I can go in the infant ministry. That's what God's called me to. And I look at you and I go, man, you have the gift of teaching. Like, you're an amazing teacher. And you're like, no, I have the gift of helps. You see what I'm saying? It's saying, like, don't settle for you settle and say, oh, I have this gift over here. But you know, like, the truth is God has called you to something greater than that, a gift that he has in his mind. It's a higher gift for you. And you're allowing, again, your flesh to determine that, oh no, I'm not capable of doing that. You see what I'm saying? Desire the higher gifts. Desire the best that God has for you. That's pretty much what he's saying. The best gift that he has for you, that's the one. Don't settle for a lesser gift. And then he goes on to say that there's something even more important and useful than all these gifts. And I'm not going to get into it today, but next week I get a chance to share it, so I'll share it with you guys. And so we're going to get into, again, the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sure if you guys know what that chapter is, you kind of know what that greater thing is. But we'll talk more about that next week. So we're going to finish here. 2 Timothy 1:6. So what we see here is that Paul lays hands on Timothy. And it says, this is what he tells him. And if you guys know, Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. Paul had, you know, he had known his family, and he came from a godly family, but he was like a spiritual son to him, and he wanted him to carry forth that torch of the gospel and that gift of being a pastor and a shepherd, a teacher, an exhorter, all of these things that he called Timothy to be. But we see here in 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so we see Paul laying hands on Timothy. We see this throughout the New Testament, hands being laid on, whether it's praying for the sick or whether it is even in Acts chapter 8, like I was talking about with the Samaritans that received, and Peter said, man, we want to lay our hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. We see this as a continual thing, as callings, as gifts are being given, hands are laid upon the people. So when we finish up here, we have an opportunity for those of you who maybe you don't know what your gift is, or maybe you're just wanting God to fan that flame. We want our pastors to come up and to lay hands on you and to pray over you that you might receive these gifts. Not that, again, not that the gifts aren't there, because remember, the gifts are there. Everyone's been given them already. But we want them to be revealed to you so that you can see what God is calling to you. Okay, so we're going to have an opportunity to do that at the end here. So what does all of this mean for us? Again, just to recap, we need to be informed and empowered by the Holy Spirit regarding his gifts. We need to seek to minister with our gifts to glorify God. And then we should all possess and know our gift or our gifts. Again, either singular or plural. Because again, the big idea here is God has given gifts to every believer, and he wants us to use them. All right? So let's pray. And then what we'll do is we'll have our pastors come up. And I'm just going to ask you guys a question, okay, at the end before we do that. But let's pray. Lord, we just come before you. I just want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, God, that you speak your truth to us, that you instruct us, Lord, that you give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, that is not from ourselves, but it is the Holy Spirit speaking directly to us, the oracles of God. And I just pray, God, that if anyone here is just unsure or hesitant, Lord, or maybe even fearful of what this would look like, I just pray that you would give them peace, Lord. Lord, we know that you are the God who is not the author of confusion, or you're not a God who creates chaos, Lord, but rather you're the God who brings peace, peace and understanding, Lord, and we need more of that in our lives. Lord, we need to remember that you are a good father who wants to give good gifts to your children. And Lord, it's like you're standing with your arms stretched out holding a gift saying, take it, my child, take it, see what I've given. And we sit there and go, oh, I'm afraid. Is it a snake? Oh, no, Lord. But no, of course not, right? He wants to give us good things. And so he has so much good for us. And I just am so thankful, God, that you love us so much as your children in that way. And I just pray that we would be willing to receive today. Lord, if anyone here has not received the gift of grace of salvation, I pray, God, that they would call upon your name. Jesus, your word tells us that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I pray that they would call out to you, Jesus, and ask you to forgive them, to cleanse them of all their sin, to be their Lord, to be their King, to save them, Lord, you hear that prayer. But for those who know you, I just pray, God, that they would call upon you and ask you to reveal all that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we have you come up, first and foremost, I just want to pray over people. If you want these things, if you have a desire to, you know, want to know what your gifts are, or, you know, be empowered by God to use these gifts for his glory, can you just raise your hand? Can you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray over you guys real quick. And then again, for those of you that are obedient and feel like God's calling you to come up and receive the laying on of hands, we want to do that too. But let's pray real quick. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here who have acknowledged that they want to know what these gifts are. They want to use these gifts to glorify you, to serve others, to build up your body. And so I just pray, God, that you would touch them now, Holy Spirit, that you would come like a rushing wind, that you would come in power and fire, God, and that you would stir up and fan that flame inside them, Lord, that it would build up and grow, that it would burn so brightly, Lord God, that their desire would be that they just want to glorify you, God. They want to lift you high, Jesus. They want to make you known. They want to use all that you've given them to pour out on others, Lord. They want to be that vessel, Lord God, that is empty of themselves but full of the Spirit. Lord God, just use them, fill them, reveal to them, show them exactly what you have for them. Lord God, because you are a God that will not waste anything, Lord. You will use the littlest, the smallest things, Lord. You can take that smallest amount of faith and bloom it into something that is beautiful and majestic, God. But Lord, unless we're willing to say less of me, more of you, God, we know that it's not going to be available for us. So I pray that we would all say, empty us, God, of ourselves. Fill us with more of you. Holy Spirit, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.